The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaam alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is the art of saying no. That was an interesting topic, and I invite you to listen to this till the end.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Thursday, is the 2nd of the month of Sha'ban, 1444 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 4th of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar. And the 23rd of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we'll listen to the Holy Quran. What chapter? A'raf. Verses 17 and 18.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Thumma la'atiyannahum min bayni aydihim wa min khalfihim wa an aymanihim wa an shamailihim. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ.
Then I will come to them from before them and from behind them and on their right and on their left, and you will not find most of them grateful to you.
قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ.
Allah said, get out of paradise, reproached and expelled. Whoever follows you among them, I will surely fill hell with you altogether.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
By these verses, once more the command of dismissing Satan from the position of nearness to Allah and the rank of highness is issued. Here, there is a difference that the command of his dismissal has been issued with a more intensive despise. Perhaps this was for the obstinacy that Satan showed later when he insisted on the temptation upon humankind and increased a greater sin to his former sins.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause
I don't need anyone.
Anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Dear brothers and sisters, during a series of today's special, we have spoken about the art of saying no. I invite you to listen and learn more about it. Saying no is your prerogative to staying productive and minimizing stress and frustration. You like to appear indispensable and helpful to others, though let's make that commitment today to start saying no to the unimportant things in life and yes to things that are most important to us. In life, we've met many people who do not say no because they are too embarrassed to say no. Even if it's detrimental to them, they won't say no because they worry what the other person will think. Put another way, sometimes when you say yes to others, in reality we are saying no to ourselves or our family or the things that matter most to us. That's when it becomes painful.
Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad,
and his purified progeny. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the art of saying no. There is another point that is very important to be pondered and to have it in mind, that we have to get assured that the other side understood that our answer is a no. Because sometimes the no that is being said is quite different than the no that the other side is hearing and actually getting. So we have to get assured, they have to be assured that the other side understood what this negative answer is. And it's better to make it very quite in good words to say the other side that this is due to these reasons and facts that we need to say a no to this request and offers of yours. And this way we can actually collect between too many factors, that is the experience of that person, the experience of the organization and community, and at the same time we have provided ourselves with a good and, let's say, professional answer. While you are going to have a negative answer or saying a no, we have to know that this no that we are saying is not something, quite personal, like that of, for example, in personal affairs. We say it, for example, we have to explain it to the other side that this no that is being said actually is due to some expediency, and it's not something that, for example, is a personal decision from my side, or I don't know, just it's just blindly to oppose, it is something blindly to oppose you. So in this case, the other side can even feel a sort of coziness with what you have said and what he or she has heard from you. At the same time, when we say that this no is not going to be the end of a dialogue, the end of a story, but again, it shouldn't be in a way that the other side thinks that there is quite an open gate for him or her in future that she or he can enter from that side.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
The title of this part is Prioritized Commitments. Consider your goals and schedules, because before agreeing to take an additional work, prioritizing commitments will ensure that you spend your time and energy on those that are truly important to you. Even if you do have some extra time, which is rare, is this new commitment really worth your time? More commitments means less time with kids, who are more important to us. For example, say no to your boss. Yes, sometimes even the highest in authority have to be told no. At times, we feel that we have to say yes to our boss in order to protect our professional repute. However, your boss is also human, so let him or her know that by taking on extra commitments, your productivity is affected and jeopardizing your existing commitments. If your boss insists to reprioritize the projects or tasks, kindly explain that there is only so much you can take on.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, it's thanks to you.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. In this part, we look at how to say no without feeling guilty. Say it. Don't beat around the bush or offer weak excuses or him and her, this only provides an opening for the other person. Don't delay or stall either. Be assertive and courteous. You might say, I'm sorry, I can't right now, but we'll let you know when and if I can. This approach is polite and puts you in a position of power by changing the dynamic. You're taking charge, telling people you let them know when and if you can. Another example, I appreciate you're asking me for help, but I'm stretched too thin right now to devote the time to be of help to you. That's a good way.
The word no is essentially a way to combat the dangers of the word yes. And today, I want you to think of something very differently when it comes to the word no. I want you to think of the word no as a protective shield in complements to the swords of yes. And here's the thing, though. There are so many of those who wield the swords of yes, but so few wield the shield of no. Because no one wants to wield the shield of no if they have to think they have to reject someone. Because the word literally means no, to reject. No one wants to reject a loved one, a friend, or even be rejected themselves. Yet, for some reason, there are so many yes men out there. Yet, you think to yourself, are the world's most successful people yes men? Do you think public figures said yes to every opportunity thrown their way? So many times do we take the swords of yes, slashing right through the opportunities of life, crushing right through, that we sometimes realize some obstacles we just can't cut. When do you use your shield to protect you? And that's the trick. When to use your sword versus your shield. And you can learn and develop that by developing your gut feeling. And you learn to develop your gut feeling by turning down big opportunities in the short term for even bigger opportunities in the long term. Because for so long, it's a sword of yes being globalized. Everyone loves saying yes. But here's the thing. The shield of no, no one gives it due credit. Yet if you think about it, how many times have you said no to the right things where you evolved as a person, where you grew yourself as a person? Probably lots and lots of times. And so my challenge to you today is this. The next time you say no, think about, am I closing the door on something or am I opening the door for some new opportunities?
The topic of this episode of today's special was the art of saying no, inshallah. We continue to speak and learn more and more about this interesting topic. Till then, Allah bless all of you. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today on the eve of the auspicious birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet's younger grandson, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, we present you a thought-stimulating description about our eventual fate, that is, death. I advise you to adhere to God-wariness, warn you against the difficult days, and show you the signs of God. The feared, that is death, is about to come, with its frightful arrival, drastic befalling, and horrible taste. It will lap your souls and impede you from acting. As long as you enjoy sound physique and enough time, take the initiative in acting, because you may suffer the sudden visit of death that takes you from the surface of the earth to its inside, from its highest point to the lowest, from its affability to its loneliness, from its ease and light to its gloom, and from its wideness to its narrowness, where the intimate friend cannot be visited, the ill cannot be called on, and the seeker of help cannot be aided.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very interesting and beautiful hadith. And this hadith is very pertinent for us today, just as it was pertinent in the time in which it was uttered by the Imam. This hadith is about the attribution of creation to nature. You know, this is a belief that actually it's been present from times, even from the time of the Prophet. We see it reflected in a verse of the Holy Quran. In a verse of the Holy Quran, God, he relates from the disbelievers that they say, "In hiya illa hayatuna dunya, namutu wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa dahr." It's a very famous verse. It's God quotes them as saying that, "There is nothing but the life of this world. We live and we die. And nothing destroys us but time," right? So there's this is kind of this belief or this kind of idea that, you know, things are created through a natural process in which matter, you know, it evolves and transforms. And the different phenomenon that we see in this world is just the natural result of the process of the transformation of matter. There's no conscious creator behind this process that, you know, kind of propels it and pushes it forward in a certain direction, you know, or purpose. So this was present beforehand. It's reflected a lot of times by, many scientists, especially physicists. You know, some of these physicists today, a famous example is Stephen Hawking, right, the famous physicist who was also an atheist. And so this is present in today as it was present yesterday. And, you know, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked by one of his companions, Al-Mufaddal, who said, "Oh my master, there is a group of people that claim that this creation is the doing of nature itself." The Imam alayhi salam asked them about, the Imam alayhi salam said, "Ask them about this nature. Does it have knowledge and power to carry out such actions as creation or not? For if they answer that it has knowledge and power, then what is preventing them from acknowledging the existence of a creator? For verily, this is his creation. If they claim that nature does these actions without knowledge or without purpose, while having witnessed the exactness and wisdom therein, it is obviously known that this is the work of a very wise creator, and what they have called nature is the very system running through creation." Right? So basically in this hadith, as you can see, right, the Imam questions, you know, this belief by, you know, asking whether this nature which, you know, performs, which they claim is the source of these phenomena that we see, if it is conscious or not. If they claim that it is not without consciousness and knowledge, then how this doesn't tie up with the, you know, the meticulousness and the order that we see in the universe. Otherwise, if they do admit to it, then, you know, in fact, what they are admitting to is, you know, the wise creator, which we believe in. Perhaps the details between that they believe in are differ from the details and the particulars of our belief, but nevertheless, we have come to an agreement with them regarding this. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the attribution of creation to nature in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. Here today we have some of the students of Sevier International School again, Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Fine, Hassan? Hussein?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir, Fawad? Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Salam alaikum. Welcome, brothers. Today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll work on one of the verses, ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the last ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Alhamdulillah, so far we've been doing great, and Allah Almighty has been blessing us, yes, with the opportunity to have the tafsir, yes, and tajweed of the Quran Kareem. So we have finished Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is the last ayah that we're going to do today. We'll have an explanation, and also we'll have the tajweed rules, inshallah, practically. Here we will mention, okay, in this session. Brothers and sisters, please stay with us till the end of this session. And thank you so much for being with us this whole time, having the Surah Al-Baqarah, right? Practicing Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes, so, before we start, the last surah, the last ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 286 on page 49. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Laha ma kasabat wa 'alayha ma iktasabat. Rabbana la tu'akhidhna in nasina aw akhtana. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
Nice recitation. This is a long ayah also. So I'll read once. The first part of the ayah mentions an important point. Then the rest of the ayah, okay, talks about dua, how to make dua, actually. Yes, it shows us how to make dua. So, I will read once, Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir. You should listen and practice, okay?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين أنت مولانا فانصرنا
الكافرين.
أحسنتم، ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. الله bless you. Inshallah. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. If you don't have the ability to do it, if you can't fast, you're too much weak, don't do fasting. Okay? Don't do it. Yeah? There are certain rules, certain conditions, that if someone meets those conditions, he will be forgiven.
Question.
Yes.
So, if that weakness is mm-hmm. like forever, like he has a stomach pain,
mm-hmm.
it's like forever.
Yes.
So, you can fast for like...
So, he doesn't have to fast.
For like the yeah. rest of the life?
But yeah, but he has to do something instead. Yeah? You know this. Kafara, right? Okay. So, sometimes people say that, oh, like prayer is too difficult for me, but yeah, if you can't stand up and do the prayer properly, okay, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
For example, you have a back pain, okay, backache you have, so just sit down. Your knees hurt you, sit on a chair, do the prayer. If you can't sit down still for what? Lie back in your bed, do it.
Yeah.
If you can't do it as well, you cannot move yourself, you're so badly injured, okay?
Eyes.
With your eyes. If you still can't move your eyes, Allah Almighty says, it's okay, I forgive you. Do it by your
heart.
Intention, heart. Intention. Your thought, okay?
Yes.
But may inshallah Allah Almighty bless us to be always healthy and do the prayers properly, okay? That's Allah Almighty, inshallah. He will forgive you. So that's it, okay? The message tells you this. But there are a lot of things, okay, about this ayah. You can learn, okay, from the Tafasir book, like Tafsir al-Namuna, Tafsir al-Mizan, Majma'u al-Bayan, and the rest of the Tafasir that you have. Inshallah, refer to them, learn more about them. The rest of the ayah talks about some of the du'as that we ask Allah Almighty to forgive us in case we forgot to repent, in case we forgot the wajib things. And the rest of things, okay? That we ask Allah Almighty to forgive us. We ask Allah Almighty not to, for example, ask us to do difficult things. Actually, things which are wajib, they're not difficult. If someone is a true believer, it's not difficult for him.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So guys, refer to the Tafasir book inshallah for more explanation, okay? This is the last ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. We'll mention some of the important tajweed rules here in this ayah. Then inshallah, the next session will start Surah Ali Imran, inshallah. So, mashallah to all of you that you are about to finish Surah Al-Baqarah, recite a salawat for yourselves.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
So, la yukallifullah, the same thing as I mentioned in the last session. Do not, be careful, don't pronounce it la yukallifullah.
Yep.
La yukallifullah, because the word la is kind of confusing for some of the students. If you say la yukallifullah, it means for sure Allah what? Tasks any soul beyond the capacity. This is wrong, yes? This is not what the ayah says.
La, so, la yukallifullah means doesn't or no.
Actually, the pronunciation of la is as well important. You say, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha, right?
Yeah.
La yukallifullah. This is important. Okay. The word Allah, the lam in the word Allah, is pronounced heavily because there is a dhamma sound before. La yukallifullahu. Yukallifullahu, right?
Yes.
The rule says if you have a dhamma or a fatha sound before, pronounce the lam heavily. But if you have a kasra, pronounce it lightly, like Bismillah. Nafsan illa wusa'aha. Tanween plus Hamza. Tanween plus Hamza tells you, huh? The rule?
Idhar.
Yes. Pronounce the Tanween sound correctly. Nafsan illa wusa'aha. And some of the reciters recite this way. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusa'aha. They try to pronounce the Hamza lightly and smoothly. So
fast.
Fast or very easily. Not because Hamza has a difficult pronunciation sometimes. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa.
Yeah.
A bit difficult. But if you read it this way, nafsan illa, it becomes easier, yes? Smoother. Yeah. Much softer. Softer, sorry. Illa wusa'aha. Jim tells you. Let's talk about those signs of stopping here. We have Jim. We have Qila. Next one. Sila. These three we have, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, we have these three types. Jim, Sila, Qila. Jim tells you, Hassan?
It's just to stop or continue.
MashaAllah. Ali Nasir. Qila tells you?
Better to stop.
Better to stop. Waqf is better than wasl. Al waqfu awla?
Bilwas.
So, Hussein, Sila tells you?
Just better the opposite. Better to continue.
Ah, better to continue. Just the opposite. So, these signs of stopping. Next one. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma iktasabat, right?
Yes.
But yeah. If you join these two words together, ma and iktasabat, skip Hamzatul Wasl, skip the alif mat.
Yes.
Maktasabat.
Maktasabat.
Right, maktasabat. Then the next rule is Rabbana la tu'akhidhna. The mad here is not wajib, right?
Yes.
It is? Jais.
Yes.
Hamza is not in the same word. Okay.
Yeah.
Inna sina. Noon plus noon. Noon sakin plus noon.
Idgham.
Idgham. Merge the sound. Inna sina aw akhtana.
Idgham mithlain.
So idgham, yes, idgham mithlain. But akhtana, the ta has to be pronounced heavily. It's a heavy sound. Akhtana, rabbana wala tahmil alayna isran kama ikhfa isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Qaf, Hussein, qaf, heavy sound. It has a heavy sound. Min qablina.
Qalqala.
Qaba. Qablina, right? So, there is stuff, the ayah, inshallah, I want you to work on them. We don't have much time. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us the whole time practicing Surah Al-Baqarah. Brothers and sisters, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir here. Thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, next session, we will start Surah Ali Imran. Stay with us. Stay with IRIB English Radio. We thank IRIB English Radio and also Sevilla International Schools. See you inshallah in the coming session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayr din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws about purity according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the rules of purification or tahara based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, some women claim that the fingernail polish, would not act as a kind of hindrance or barrier for the wuzu, and that it is permissible to do the wiping over the transparent socks.
Yes.
Is that correct? What's your opinion?
Well, I think we have discussed this issue time and time again, and that the answer we have given is always the same. Nail polish has a substance that prevents water from reaching the nails. And the allegation or the claim made by some producing companies saying that the polish is water permeable or it is water friendly seems to be unauthenticated. It has not been proven. And therefore, it's important and essential that ladies remove the nail polish before performing wudu or before performing ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nail polish stands on the nail plates, and of course, the nail plates, seemingly, there's no gap between the nail polish. It's not somewhere above the nail plates. It's mm-hmm. sticking. It is sticking the nail plates. So, in order to make sure that water has reached, it is necessary to remove the nail polish, and the polish, whether it is on your toes or on your fingernails, it does not make any difference. For ladies who are, for example, in the state of let's say monthly period, okay, they can use nail polish as long as they are in their period, okay? Mm-hmm. But when they want to perform ghusl, they have to make sure that there is no substance, mm-hmm. no barrier, or no dirt on their skin or on their nail plates. And nail polish is a kind of dirt,
right,
that prevents water from reaching the skin. And therefore, it should be removed. And when it comes to wiping over the transparent socks, of course, wiping performed on socks is incorrect,
mm-hmm.
because the socks is there, and it forms a barrier. How can you perform wiping on the socks while we are talking about nail polish preventing the water from reaching the skin? So that the same is the case with the socks, which may prevent and which definitely prevent, because there is socks.
If the moisture touches the foot, what happens then? I mean, is that okay?
It might touch partially, okay? But some parts of the upper sole of the feet may remain dry,
mm-hmm.
and therefore there's no continuity. Some parts may reach, may get the water, and some parts may not. And therefore, you are not certain mm-hmm. whether you have pulled your feet from the toes till the ankles or not.
Yes.
And that's the reason why it's not permissible to wipe on the socks.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go
astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of purification based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for those individuals wounded in war who have lost their bladder control due to the severing of the spinal cord? Is it permissible for these individuals to attend the Friday congregational sermons or take part in the Friday and afternoon prayers with wudu performed according to the duties of someone who is incontinent for urine?
Well, I know they may participate in a Friday prayer, but as it is obligatory for them to begin the prayer after wudu without delaying, their wudu performed before sermons is not sufficient for the prayer, unless, of course, they know invalidator of wudu, like urination, like passing wind, or and so on and so forth, occurred after wudu. Because for people who are incontinent, for people who are, the problem of passing wind, or people who are, let's say, there's a special term, they call it, I think, flatulent. That's the special term. And people who cannot control their urine or their, you know, passing wind. So these people, actually, when they make wudu, they have to immediately offer their prayers. Mm-hmm. And there should not be any gap. Okay. Now, as for these people who suffer from incontinence, they cannot join the prayer because they have to listen to the sermon and then wait for the imam to finish his sermons and then offer the prayer. So that distance is there. And that's why there's this problem will definitely occur. And if the urination takes place, or if the individual passes wind, then he cannot make a perform wudu with it. Mm-hmm. He cannot perform prayer with it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, Sheikh Javid, someone gets assistance in making wudu as or because he's unable to perform the wudu on his own. Then he makes intentions and performs the wiping with his own hand. Okay, and when unable to do the wiping himself, the assistant takes his hand and does the wiping with it for him. So, and when that cannot be done, the assistant takes the moisture from his hand and does the wiping with it. But what's the rule when he doesn't have hands at all?
That's a good question. Such incidents such may occur with many people, especially in countries where there's war and violence and people engage in fighting. And so catastrophes happen. So His Eminence actually says that if a person does not have a palm, the moisture would be taken from his forearm, And if there is no forearm, the moisture would be taken from his beard and or maybe from eyebrow. In the event that he does not have beard, of course, the moisture is taken from his eyebrow.